Hello and welcome to Pick the Right Tool, Office 365 What to Use When. I'm Michael Blumenthal. Let me start off by introducing myself. I am a technical solution evangelist at PSC Group, an IT consulting firm headquartered in Schaumburg, Illinois. I'm also an Office 365 MVP, an award from Microsoft, and I've been in IT consulting for over two decades. In a nutshell, I help teams of business people be more productive. When it comes to Office 365, a lot of my clients struggle with the fact that there are so many tools in Office 365. Office 365 is so much more than just Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. It's no longer just about the desktop office suite. It's now the desktop office suite, the mobile applications, the web applications, all these things. Because there are so many tools there, it tends to create a lot of confusion about what to use when. I'm going to focus in on just four scenarios. I'm going to talk about the tools to use for sharing a file for editing, managing team tasks, sharing things like articles that you find online with your coworkers, sharing those without spamming, and two different ways to present visual content. Let's look at the first scenario. You want to share a file for editing. This is something we as business people have been doing for a long, long time. You have a document, perhaps a proposal, and you need to send it to, say, five other people to get their opinions and feedback and edits on it. Now, of course, if you do this in email, what happens is that every person gets their own private copy, they make individual changes, they send it back to you, and then you are stuck with the tedious job of merging all those changes together. Email is not the way to do this. One of the other tools in the Office 365 suite is Yammer, and you could post your file to Yammer and have a discussion about what needs to be changed, but that's really not the best way to do it either, because Yammer doesn't inherently provide that co-authoring experience. It's more about posting and discussions. It's not really what you want to do. You want the other people to make their changes in the document and have a single document to work on so that all those changes are in one place. So Yammer isn't it. Now, the thing you need to look at is, are you sharing this with perhaps a single person and there isn't a formal team, or multiple people as part of a formal team or department? If it's a sort of ad hoc, one-off sharing, then OneDrive is great for that. If you're sharing this with a well-defined team of people, for perhaps for a project, or perhaps it's a departmental asset that you're working on, then that team ought to have a SharePoint site or an Office 365 group, and either way you get a SharePoint document library. So SharePoint is the right solution there if you have a document you're working on with a team of people. That's my advice for sharing a file for editing, is if it's just with one person in an ad hoc way, use OneDrive for Business and share a file with them. But if it's a more formal experience where you've got a defined team, use SharePoint. Now let's move on to the next scenario, managing team tasks. Project management has been done any number of ways, and all depends on the complexity and sophistication of the project and the project manager. And we've seen plenty of projects where people try to use Excel to manage these. The problem with Excel is that Excel doesn't have a native understanding of what a task is. So Excel really isn't the best tool for managing team tasks or project management. Now if we go ahead and look at the other end of the spectrum, let's say you have a formal project with an experienced project manager. And that is where you have formal project management needs. You need to have resource leveling, resource forecasting. The project manager will take the time to define the relationships between tasks, what tasks depend on what other tasks to start or finish. For that, Microsoft Project, Microsoft Project Online, and Microsoft's portfolio and project management offerings are perfectly legitimate. However, for that middle ground of smaller projects, less sophisticated project management needs, Planner is that perfect tool to use. Here's another way to think of it. Think of it as a continuum of project management tools varying by complexity and audience. For low complexity and individual task management needs, you have tools like Wunderlist, OneNote, and Outlook. On the high end, for again that high complexity project and that formal audience of a project management office, experienced project managers, you have Microsoft Project and its friends. In the middle, for those medium complexity projects and the ad hoc teams, that's where Planner comes into play. So let's take a look at what Planner looks like. In a nutshell, you get a Planner dashboard that gives you an overview of your project plans. You choose which ones to feature. Your favorite ones show up on top with the diagrams. The other projects you're part of are listed below. If you click on one of those, you go into an individual project planner, and you see the list of buckets, and each bucket has tasks in it. The nice thing here is you can customize the bucket names, so you can have them named anything that's meaningful to you. Individual tasks within a bucket have a structure to them as well. So if we click on one of these tasks, what we see is this. A task has a bucket it belongs to, a task has a status, a task has a start date and an end date or a due date, it's got a title, it's got someone it was created by, someone it's assigned to, a description, it can have attachments, either file attachments or links, it can have a checklist and it have comments and the comments can be tracked. It can also be tagged in different colors, and those different color ribbons you can assign whatever meaning to them you wish. To summarize, for your medium complexity, more ad hoc, smaller projects, Planner is a much more user-friendly tool than Microsoft Project. Let's move on to the next scenario. This is what I call sharing without spamming. This is about the scenario where you found an article online that you want to share with a number of your peers. You found an article on some particular topic relevant to your coworkers, and if you take that article or the URL for that article and stick it in an email message, you have a choice. You can either list particular individuals that receive it or use a distribution list. The risk there is you'll either send it to too few or too many people. However, if you post that same link to a group in Yammer, what you're doing is you're posting that to a Yammer group that's been predefined on a certain topic. By virtue of posting that article in the Yammer group, you are then hitting your target audience. So anyone who's interested in that topic is already subscribed to that group. You don't have to make sure you get the exact right audience, and the people subscribed to that group will get notified about that at their preference. So whether it's immediately, daily, or weekly, the subscriber has control. So you're not forcing something into the work stream. They're getting a daily or a weekly summary generally, and they can go and look at your article at their convenience. So it's not urgent, but not invasive either. And because of that, we're going to rule out mail and say Yammer for the win. To summarize the Yammer advantages, as I've described, it's subscription-based. The subscriber has the control of how frequently they get the summaries. But furthermore, it's a smarter discussion experience than what you would have in email, because Yammer does threaded discussions very well, and that discussion has a permanent home, versus in email, discussions can get lost in the thread of time and fall deeper and deeper into the inbox. Yammer discussions have a permanent URL where you can always go to find that discussion, and of course they're searchable, so it's a much better discussion experience as well. Now let's move on to presenting visually. One of the newest members of the Office 365 family is Sway. Sway and PowerPoint are sometimes presented as having the same purpose, but I'm going to suggest that they are sufficiently distinct in the purposes that if you understand that distinction, it's clear what to use when. So let's take a look at the differences between these two tools. First of all, PowerPoint. PowerPoint is and always has been designed for the classic use case of providing slides for a presenter to use when talking to a live audience. Sway, on the other hand, is a web-friendly, mobile-friendly publication experience. And what I mean by that is you can author a Sway and then send it to your audience, and your audience consumes it without you there. They consume it looking often at their laptop or their phone or their tablet rather than looking at you standing in front of a screen. Because of that, you have two different user experiences for consuming the content. That's what you need to keep in mind when you're choosing between Sway and PowerPoint. PowerPoint for live presentation in front of an audience, Sway for publishing rich visual content that the audience can consume on their own. Let's review. To share a file for editing, your best choices are going to be OneDrive for Business or SharePoint document libraries, depending on if you're sharing in ad hoc fashion with another individual or two, or if you're sharing with a formal team. For managing team tasks, Planner hits that sweet spot between completely unstructured project management and completely structured project management in Microsoft Project and its friends. For that medium complexity, small to medium-sized project with either an ad hoc team or where project just feels like overkill, Planner is a great tool to use. For sharing without spamming, that is sharing an article with a group of peers at your workplace, Yammer is really great for that because it lets you post the article in a topic-oriented discussion forum that peers interested in that topic are subscribed to and puts the control of the consuming of that article in the hands of the subscribers rather than you pushing it into their email stream. And then finally, presenting visual content. You've got PowerPoint for formal slide-based presentations in front of an audience, or Sway for a more publication-oriented experience where you're presenting rich visual content to someone via their laptop or phone. Knowing all these guidelines is great. However, these are just a few of the business scenarios that every organization encounters. Knowing what to use when for just these scenarios isn't enough. You need to look at which scenarios are meaningful for your business, for your organization, picking the tools that are going to help your users for those scenarios. Once you decide what tool to use for a particular business scenario, then it's a matter of getting everybody on that metaphorical bus and getting everybody going in the same direction. So how do you do that? Well, a lot of this is about change management and communication. When you want people to change their behavior, you have to provide them a vision of why the new way is better, not just for the organization, but for them personally. Don't try to change the whole organization at once. If you can start with a small team and show that team is successful using these new tools as part of their teamwork, then you can leverage that success and get another team and then another team and then another team and eventually the whole organization to work that way. As you go through that team-based pilot and rollout to larger and larger groups approach, champions of the technology will arise. These are normal users, sometimes project managers, who see the value of using the new tools and see how they've made teamwork better. Identify those people, cherish them, amplify them, use them to promote the new approach, the new technology, the new tools. Have them lead things like lunch and learns. When you have your vision of what tool should be used when, for which business purpose, and you know how those changes benefit your end users, you need to communicate this to them. However, we live in a multi-channel communication world. So when you're communicating to your organization about the new tools they have available to them and why they should use them, expect that you're going to have to do this several different ways. Of course, there's always email. You should be doing an email campaign where you can track when the emails get read or how many of them have been read. If you already have an enterprise social network in place, use that as well. For those people who are in physical offices, put up posters. Use word of mouth. Again, amplify your champions. And then finally, another approach that we've seen work well is holding IT fairs. So I'm presenting this content here at the Microsoft Ignite conference, which is a huge IT conference. But when we talk about an IT fair, this can be a very small kind of thing. This is, say, two-thirds of a day, and it's a series of presentations on whatever tool or technology or technique that you want to promote in your organization. And so an example might be you could have a 15-minute session on tools and techniques and tips and tricks for using Outlook, or Introduction to Planner, or ways that SharePoint empowers teams, or how to use the smart boards, or how to open a service ticket with the IT department. Any of those topics are fair game, and you set those up as 15-minute sessions at the IT fair and invite people to come through and attend as many as they can, and then offer to follow up with that with deeper training. So those are some of the different ways you can communicate the benefits of the new tools and help get people on board. To summarize, first you have to pick the tools, and then you have to get everybody on board. You can continue this conversation on the Microsoft Technical Community. The short link for that is bit.ly THR 1029. That is case sensitive, so you want to make sure the THR is capitalized, or you can scan the QR code. Thank you very much.